2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 19. Just one verse, all I'm going to read. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. And the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." And here's the phrase I want to preach on. "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please?
I'm thankful again tonight, Lord, for your marvelous love for us.
Yes, Lord.
You loved us and died for us. We rejoice in that. My prayer, Lord, that your divine power and presence would manifest itself in this place tonight.
Yes.
And to save sinners. And
please, Lord.
Bless and help your people. Give grace to each and every heart tonight. Help the preachers and preachers.
Help us, Lord.
I pray you said he's been in a wise place and given plenty of room and liberty to
preach. Yes, God, do it.
Thank you for doing that. And your divine will win every heart. And you find your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, this is my title: Departing from Iniquity, the Duty of All Who Name the Name of Jesus. Departing from iniquity, the duty of all who name the name of Jesus. That phrase in our text, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." I'm intending tonight to preach on practical Christianity, really. Practical holiness of Christian character. And we need it. I mean, as a matter of fact, the day we're living in, we need it more. Just to be honest with you, I am sickened and saddened when I see what goes on in professed Christianity today. It seems to me that to get somebody to profess Christianity is easy. To get them to practice it is hard. Amen. It's depressing to see how that those that profess the name of Christ and yet practice the iniquity just keep right on going on as if somehow they have yoked together the name of Christ and their iniquity and they're going right on. That's impossible, by the way. It seems as if they found a secret way, if I could say it that way, that they have learned to mix light with darkness. There's been a lot said about that lately. Brother Doug's been teaching on that in Sunday school, and it's been reoccurring because it's so true. That's a foundational truth. The first mentions are so important. But it seems as if they have tried to find a way to mix light with darkness, and you know that can't happen. Matter of fact, our text demands that it cannot happen. "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Amen. Our text declares that men must choose either to depart iniquity or to have no part in Christ. I believe that's right. Amen. Now, turn to Jeremiah chapter 32 and we'll read a few verses. And as we look at these verses, let me say that God had sent the prophet Jeremiah to warn Jerusalem, the capital, primarily, that they were going to be overrun, that they would fall to Babylonian aggression. Jeremiah chapter 32, and I'll begin reading with verse 36. He warned them that they would fall to Babylonian aggression. However, God comforted Jeremiah and the people with prophecy that the day would come that God would bring them back. The day would come that God would not only bring the people back to Jerusalem, that He would bring them back to Himself, and that He would make a covenant with them and in them. That's an important thing. Make a covenant with them and in them. That covenant would be made. Now notice Jeremiah 32, verse number 36. The Bible says, "And now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them." Look at verse 40. Now here it is. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Amen. Now, I want to point out primarily verse 40, that last verse, and that phrase. God not only put His promise in their heart, God not only said, I'm not going to leave you, but He put His fear in their heart. He said that you won't leave me. Amen. And so God makes that promise that He's going to put something in them that they won't turn away from God, but rather they'll turn to God and walk with God. And I believe that's borne out in the text that I'm reading here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul's just talked about some men that have gone away, Philetus and Hymenaeus, I believe it is in this particular case, and that's right, and how that their word, he said, doth eat as a canker. They were men that had taught wrong doctrine. They were men that had led some astray. And Paul is doing exactly what John did in chapter 2 of 1 John, but he's telling them to hang in there if they've got the goods and trust God and stay with the goods. Amen. But here's this thing. He said, make sure you draw a line of distinction between those that are for God and those that are against God. Make sure you are letting others know which side you're on. Amen. And so I'll just simply say it this way. It is God's will that save people live like saved people, not like unsaved people. Amen. Amen. I believe that's clearly understood, people that are saved by the grace of God. But sometimes people are so ingrained in their own culture, so ingrained in that former way of living, that they need some instruction. And they're not sure exactly where to and how to come out from among them and be separate. Some of those things are hanging on to them. And so because of that, Paul in this case, and the scriptures over and over again, tell us that we're to come out. It tells us that we're to make that division. We're to make it clear, cut her straight, and make a clean break from those sins that are there. Amen. Now, I do believe that upon hearing this instruction, those that don't know, and yet when they hear it, I believe the Holy Ghost will amen it. I believe the Holy Ghost will put something in them and will respond to them that will direct them in the way that's right. Because His job is to guide you and lead you into all truth. Amen. And so I'm glad that God does that. I'm glad that we have the Holy Spirit that will guide us in that direction. Now our text says again, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That is a divine command for sanctified living. Amen. That is a divine command for sanctification. God demands, and I say that word again, demands that every person that takes the holy name of Jesus live a holy life. Amen. Live for Jesus if you've taken His name. It is inconsistent to lay claim on that holy name and live an unholy life. I believe our text, to me, it seems to indicate when it says that these saints are to depart from iniquity, I believe it's both a command and a choice. Amen. I go back to what happened in Genesis 1, 3, and 4 that Brother Doug's been teaching on in Sunday school. Genesis 1, 3, and 4. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Amen. I believe that God commanded. God said, let there be light, let the light appear, and there was light. God brought light out of the darkness. There was light. Amen. Thank God for the day He brought me out of the darkness. Amen. He commanded me to come forth. Amen. But not just that. He also separated them. That light will never go back into the darkness. That light and darkness will never commingle. They'll never be mixed up again. Amen. When God divided them, they're forever divided. Amen. And I believe that it was a command, but I believe it was a choice. I don't believe light wanted to stay hooked up with darkness anymore. Amen. I don't believe that light had any desire to stay mingled in that darkness, and if I could say live in that darkness any longer. I don't believe that light had that. So God brought the light into being, and then God divided the light from the darkness. That command is still active today to you and I. Light does not mix with darkness. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Two things I want to deal with tonight, and I'll probably come back and look at this again. But two things I want to deal with tonight. I want to look at those commanded. Who is this command to? And then I want to look at the command itself. Those commanded and the command. Now, what I'm going to say tonight, very simple, very blanket that we can take it. And yet I pray God will put some specifics in our own heart. And if the Lord will help me, I'll get to some specifics as we go along. But those commanded, who is it? Here's what the Bible says. Everyone that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Who is this everyone? This command has a wide scope. It entails all people. I'll say it this way. Number one, it entails all people that are church members. Amen. Church members. It's sad that we live in a day when people think that there ought to be no regulations on church members, and yet there's regulations to be a member of a ball team. There's regulations to be a member of a club, a fraternity. Amen. If you just join Sam's Club, you gotta get some kind of regulation. To go in a lot of these stores, you gotta have your shirt and your shoes on. Amen. And there's regulations that are involved in that. Well, there ought to be regulations for church members. And here's my thing. If you've been baptized, and I realize we're going to have a baptism sometime soon, but if you've been baptized, you have named the name of Christ. Therefore, you have no right to dabble in sin any longer. Amen. You have united with the church. You have claimed the name of Christ. This is Christ's church. Amen. And God commands you to depart from iniquity. Amen. By taking the name of Jesus, you are engaged in battle against the enemy. The enemy is the devil, the flesh, and the world. Amen. They're not our friends. You might have thought they were your friends at one time. They're not your friend any longer. Amen. And you're engaged in a war, in a battle. You have no liberty to follow your own lust. You have no liberty to follow your own darkened mind. You have no liberty to follow your own imaginations and your own feelings and your own desires. There's no more liberty. You belong to Him because you've taken His name. Amen. In that baptism, you have, Paul talks about in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, talks about being baptized for the dead. He's not talking about being baptized in the name of dead people like Mormons do. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being baptized in the fact that you're showing that you're dead to sin, that old life is dead and gone, and that just as Christ died for us, we're going to die with Him, and just like He rose, we're going to rise, and just like He lives for the glory of God, we're going to live for the glory of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, so you have taken the name of Jesus, and therefore you belong to God. You have no right to converse with the enemy. You have no right to co-mingle with the enemy. Amen. Since you've come to dwell in the house of the Lord, you have no right to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. The psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He knew you couldn't do both. Amen. Now this command here includes both young and old, all, everyone that nameth the name of Christ is commanded to depart from iniquity. There are far too many, you know it and I know it too, there are far too many whose names are on a church roll somewhere, and yet they live in such a way to bring disgrace to the name of Christ. They live in such a way, they not only disgrace the holy name of Christ, they disgrace the name of that church. They disgrace the name of the other members of that church. There are people that will not go to church. You say, and you invite them to just church and random, and they'll say, which church you go to? And when you tell them the church you go to, there are people that may very well say, I know people that go there. I've heard things about that. I'm not interested in it. You know why? Because somebody that was a member or somebody whose name was on the roll failed to depart from iniquity. And he lived in such a way, those people say, if they're a Christian, the woods are full of them. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. In other words, he's telling us that we ought to, if we take the name of Christ, I'll say it this way, we ought to be an advertisement for Him, not an advertisement against Him. Amen. Amen. Our life ought to be an advertisement for the Lord Jesus and for His church, rather than an advertisement against the Lord Jesus and against His church. But so many people today, they'll call them hypocrites down at the house of God, and they will refuse to go to church on account of the sinful lifestyle of those that claim to be church members. Amen. I don't know how many times I've heard people tell, not here. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just preaching. I'm preaching the Bible. And if it fits us, help us, Lord. It fits us. Amen. But here's, I've heard so many times how people talk about driving by the liquor store and seeing a church member come out of the liquor store. I don't care if you got a cold. You ain't got no business being in a liquor store. Say amen right there. There's no excuse. No excuse for going in those places. I've heard tell of people that come by, you know, these places and they see people coming out of them and things that they know are wicked and they know are not right with God. And yet they're mingling in those things.
Right.
They see them as church members and they say they don't belong here. And they're right. You don't. Amen. Church members. Secondly, who else does this apply to? It applies to people that profess salvation. There are some people that profess salvation that haven't been baptized yet. Their name's not on a church roll. Maybe they're not in fellowship with some local church at this time, and yet they profess that they're saved by the grace of God. They claim a hope in salvation. Everybody that makes that claim, this scripture says, should depart from iniquity. Amen. Should depart from iniquity. Should you wish to carry His name and call yourself a Christian, then you are commanded to depart from iniquity. To live like Christians. Not like those that have never heard of Christ.
Right.
Amen. I remember some years ago, a young lady was working on my teeth. She was a dental hygienist. She was cleaning my teeth in North Carolina. And when she found out I was a pastor, she said, I've got some questions. And she asked me what I thought about Christian rock music. I said, I think it's an oxymoron. And then she asked me about English. She didn't know what an oxymoron was. I said, well, that's two words that don't go together. It's like saying Christian devil. And she said, well, that's being pretty judgmental, ain't it? I knew it. I knew that's where it's going to go. And I tried to tell her before when she said, I've got a question. I said, you don't want to ask me. You probably want to ask your pastor. She said she had asked her pastor, and he skirted the issue. When she told me she went to the first church downtown, I knew why he skirted the issue. Only skirt he knew about. Anyway, she said, she's going through this, and she said, why you call that an oxymoron? They're not, I said, because the word Christian and the word rock don't go together. She said, how do you know they're not Christian? I said, well, I don't know that they're not saved, but they don't look like they're saved. They don't even act like they're saved. They claim, the Bible talks about being wolves in sheep's clothing. They claim to be sheep, but they're in wolves' clothing. That's what I told her. And, she said, well, I don't know. That's pretty judgmental. She said, my grandma wouldn't have thought I looked too much like a Christian with my hair bobbed off and these breeches on. And I said, uh-huh. Me and your grandma would have probably got along pretty good. And I said, it's best for us just end this discussion. Amen. And it was. And I wasn't trying to be mean to her, and I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but I'm simply saying this. Even the world at one time knew what it meant if a person claimed to be a Christian. That there was things you don't do. There's places you don't go. There's activities you don't get involved in. But we don't know that today. Amen. And so I'm saying those that profess salvation, they name the name of Christ, ought to live like Christians, not like those that's never heard of Christ. Far too often, those that possess to have a hope in Christ actually live in such a way as to contradict what their words have said, their verbal profession. Turn to Romans chapter 2. And I won't make you turn to all these scriptures. I've got some I'll just read to you. But Romans chapter number 2 is one that I think would be good for us. You know the book of Romans, he starts off by judging all to be under sin. He deals with the heathens in chapter number 1, that all the heathens are under sin. Then he deals with the hypocrites in chapter number 2, those Jews, Gentiles and Jews. Gentiles in chapter 1, heathens, he said they're under sin. Chapter 2, the Jews that thought they were so righteous yet didn't know God. They're going to try to make their own righteousness, wasn't submitting to the righteousness of God. And Paul said, you're under sin too. Look at chapter 2, verse number 21. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. I underline that phrase. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Paul was saying to them, he was saying, listen, you claim to know God and yet you live worse than some Gentiles live. There's idol worshipers that's more holy than you are, is what he's saying in that. He said, it ought not so to be. That's what James would say. Amen. You don't have to turn here, but 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says this, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, here's my phrase, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Amen. There's some people say, well, why should I profess salvation to Christ? It didn't change that fella. What's he going to do for me? It didn't help him. He's still running around on his wife. He's still telling lies. He's still playing the lottery. He's still on and on and on and on it goes. And they can start naming all kinds of sin that people are involved in. Amen. I remember when I worked in the glass factory, two stories that come to my mind. As we were trying to witness, I'd gone through a spell of revival. I was trying to witness to the men there, different ones, and had a young man there get saved. And he was trying to witness. And he hadn't been saved very long. Had a pack of cigarettes in his pocket at work. And he went to a man and invited him to church. And that fellow said, shut your mouth. He said, don't you try to tell me that God can deliver me from my marijuana if he can't deliver you from a regular cigarette.
Yeah, amen.
Now, this was a fellow that went out and smoked marijuana every day at lunch. Every day. Common. It's common knowledge. We knew that. He was a dope head as far as that goes. But he had in his mind, and by the way, I believe he's right, the same God that can deliver from one drug can deliver from another. And I realize people can smoke and still go to heaven. I understand it. And I know people smoke. I'm not fussing. Other than saying God can deliver you. And there's people out there in the world that says that's not equivalent to the way a Christian ought to be living. I say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's not the way it ought to be. If you are a church member, if you profess salvation, and then thirdly, here's a group of people. I just put down praying people. There are some people that they've never been baptized. They've never united with a church. They've never even made a public profession of faith. And yet, they feel that they can pray. And they say, I pray every day. And you meet them and they'll say, oh, I'm praying for you. I'm telling you, I get sick. That crowd up there in Washington, that something bad will happen and they'll have a moment of silence. And they'll say, oh, we're remembering these people. And they're passing around beer. They're passing around liquor. Amen. Knowing they're living in sin. A lot of them's wicked. They got foul mouths. Amen. Wicked as the day is long, and yet they're going to pray. That does not compute in this Bible. Amen.
Amen.
God said if you're a praying person, you're naming the name of Christ.
Amen.
He says depart from iniquity. Come out from that. Amen. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The psalmist said, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. If you continue to be friendly towards your sin, God's not going to be friendly towards you. Amen. He's not going to hear your prayers when you pray. Amen. Amen. Those commanded. Let me give you the last thing, and that is the command. What is the command? Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That command leaves no place for delay, no place for delinquency. It tells us to depart.
Right.
You ever think about Lot? There in Genesis 18 and 19, God goes to Abraham in 18, tells him what he's going to do. 19, he goes down there and destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. But in the process, he liberates Lot. He tells Lot that they're going to leave. You're going to have to get out of the city. And the Bible says, while he lingered, I have questioned, why in the world linger among a bunch of heathens like the Sodomites were in Sodom and Gomorrah? But he's lingering. And those angels had to literally take him by the hand, the Bible said. Amen. They had to literally take him by the hand, and it's as if they had to almost drag him out. But then I look at Christians that have been saved for years, and they're still lingering in their iniquity. They're still lingering in their little city of Sodom. And they've heard God say, you got to get out. You got to get out. Nothing but destruction comes from that. Amen. I pray that today the Word of God takes you by the hand and delivers you. Amen. It says for us to depart. There's four things I want to point to you that I believe is the way to obey this command, to depart from iniquity. And that word depart. First of all, stop it. That's simple. Stop it. Amen. If you're handling sin, I should have brought that little frog thing Melissa's got there again. Use that as sin. I use it as a false god. You're handling that sin. You're holding on to that sin, and you're petting that sin. And that sin's a friend to you. It's a pet. It's almost like it's a part of you. You know what? If you're going to get rid of it, first thing you got to do is stop it.
Right.
Stop being friendly towards it. Amen. Stop petting on it. Stop loving on it. Amen. Here's what Job said. And go ahead and turn to John chapter 5. I'll let you turn there, and I'll read you what Job said. Job 34, verse 31 and 32. He said, "Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement. I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach me." Listen to this phrase. "If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more." That's what Job said. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Now, John chapter number 5 and verse number 14, our Lord heals this man, and he goes back and finds him. John chapter 5 and verse number 14. Let me get there. The Bible says this. Jesus said, "Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole." Look at this phrase. "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Amen. Sin no more. You know what he's saying? Stop what you've been doing. That simple. Turn to John chapter 8. And by the way, I know what people say. They say, "Well, now, you know, the reason I still have a television is because, you know, I can turn it off anytime." Well, why don't you turn it off? Because after a while, you just get used to it. Really? You do. And I'm not just on that, but a lot of things. All right, look at verse 8, or verse 11, chapter 8, John 8, 11. This is that woman they found that caught in the act of sin. They brought her to the Lord in the temple. And he said, "Let him that hath sin cast the first stone." All right. She said, "No man, Lord." And he said, "Where's your accuser?" "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee." This phrase, "Go and sin no more." Sounds like a topic to our Lord. If you want to say a preacher's riding a hobby horse, our Lord had a hobby horse. And he said, "When you get right with God, quit your sinning business," is what he's saying. Don't do it no more. Stop it. All right? It's that simple. Stop it. Quit petting it. If you're going to name the name of Christ, you got to relinquish your hold on sin. You got to quit fondling it. You got to quit playing with it. You got to quit petting it. Amen. You got to quit giving room to the devil. Amen. Amen. Don't give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Turn away from it. Turn your eyes away from it. Take your hands away from it. And turn your heart away from it. Amen. Stop it. Secondly, stand away from it. Stand apart from it. In other words, make a clear line. All right? This is sin. I'm going to say this handkerchief is sin. And I've been hanging on to it. I'm going to quit it. I'm going to put it down right there and I'm going to distance myself from it. I'm going to stand apart from it. There's a line there. That's no longer part of what I want to fool with. That's no longer part of what I want to have in my life. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28, the Bible says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Amen. In other words, the Bible said you get saved, you get right with God. Maybe you was a thief. Quit your stealing and go get an honest job. That's what he's saying. Make a difference. Make a difference. Proverbs 4, verse 14 and 15. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." I'm simply saying draw a line to separate yourself from sin. Get on the Lord's side of the line rather than on the sin side of the line. Amen. Make a clear break. Keep yourself at a distance from iniquity. Amen. Stand off from it as you would a fire that would burn you. Amen. Stand off from it as you would a disease that would contaminate you. Amen. Stand apart from it as you would a sword or a spear that would pierce you. Stand apart from it as you would a serpent that would bite you, and its poison would be deadly, because that's what sin is, by the way. All those things. Amen. Stop it. Stand apart from it. Number three, step away from it. Put more distance from you. Amen. It's one thing to first throw it down. It's another thing to step even further away from it. Amen. Amen. Well, I got all these things running through my mind, but let me just give you some of the scriptures again. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Let the wicked forsake his way. He said, stop it, step away from it, or stand apart from it, then step away. Make some distance between you and what you used to do. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. We'll look at that. I'll let you look at those verses. Matthew chapter 12. There's a couple there I want to show you. Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 30. These are the words of our Lord. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You know what he's saying? There's no neutrality in this matter between sin and the Savior. There's no neutrality in this thing, in the battle between good and evil. Look at verse number 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:17, you probably know it well. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. I said, draw a line between them and then take sides against the sin. Amen. Take sides. Choose which side you're on. Sin and holiness are on two opposite sides. Amen. You must be for one and against the other. Amen. For one or against, and against the other. So I said, stop it, stand away from it, or apart from it, step away from it, and number four, stay away from it. Real simple, but stay away from it. Job said this, Job 11:14, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Amen. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That phrase, Paul said, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He said, those are things we're not going back to. Those are things we're staying away from. Amen. Amen. Well, there's things that God saves people from. And when he saves you from, and maybe, listen, if you're not careful, there's something, maybe you never was caught up in it as a lost man. I'll tell you my story. I got saved as an 8-year-old boy. There's a whole lot of things that didn't have a hold on me. Amen. Didn't have a hold on me. But later in life, I allowed myself to participate in things that did get a hold on me, and God had to deal with me about it. Amen. And I could name some of them to you. Some of them you might think it's silly, but God told me I had to get rid of it. God told me I had to separate myself from it because it had a hold on me. Literally, it did. It had a hold on me. Amen. Well, can I say this? I said you put it down there and you stand apart from it. And then you step away from it. And then you stay away from it. Here's how. If you're walking away from it, and that's how the Christian life ought to be, by the way. We ought to be getting closer to heaven and farther away from sin if we're going the right way. Amen. Now, it's possible to have gone away from it and yet be slipping back towards it. Looking back, thinking back, contemplating, bringing all that back in. If you're not careful, you'll start remembering the pleasures of sin that was only for a season, by the way. Amen. And the devil will tell you, don't you wish you had that again? Don't you wish you could do that again? Listen, I'm telling you what to do. According to this Bible, he said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That word depart, go the other way. That's what it means. Depart from it. Go the other direction. Amen. As we walk towards God and His heaven, we should be more godly and more heavenly in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Isn't that right? That is right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just gets brighter and brighter. That's what it's saying. As a Christian, we ought not be dabbling in darkness. We ought not be living in the shadows. Amen. Ought to be walking in the light and more light as the days go along. Philippians chapter 3, if you want to turn there, I'll close with these thoughts. Philippians chapter 3. Again, familiar scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. The words of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, I'm progressing on. I'm climbing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining day by day. Amen. Paul said, my heart don't want to stay here any longer. My heart wants to move on closer to Jesus and be more like Him. Amen. Why is it that when some people get saved, all of a sudden there's a drastic change? But if they're not careful, those old friends and those old habits, and maybe it's not just blatant sin. Maybe it's just a clothing style. Maybe it's just the way that they handle themselves, their talk. You know, there's some things that's not actual cursing, but it's still not good language for a Christian.
Right.
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of things that we could name that's, people might say, well, that's sort of borderline. Well, I don't want to be close to the border. Amen. I want to build a wall there and go farther away from it. Amen. Not so I'll never go back. That's the point. I don't ever want to cross that line again. Not that you could lose your salvation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about losing your testimony. Amen. I'm talking about going into sin that causes you to lose the touch of God and the breath of God on you. Amen. And I'm going to have to stop right there. And I probably will return to this another time. I believe it's needful in the day we're living. We need practical Christianity. It's one thing to have it up here in our head and think, oh, the greatness of God, oh, the goodness of God. Oh, that's great. It is great. But if it don't affect our feet, where we go, what we do, how we live, we've missed the whole point. Missed the whole point when it's all said and done. Amen. Would you take a moment and just take an honest inventory and ask yourself about your life and your conduct? Are there some things you ought to turn from? Are there some things you ought to distance yourself from? Are there some areas in life that you just need to draw a line and say, I'm going to step apart. I'm going to stand apart. I'm going to step away. And I'm going to stay away from some of those things. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. The instruction from the Word of God, the command that was given, that said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Lord, help us as Your children to do just that. Help us not to live in a way that even sinners would be confused about our profession, but that they would know that we're real and true and honest, that we're saved, we've been delivered, and we can live for You. Lord, I pray, make it so. Work in the life of Thy people and get the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, and while we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come, obey the Lord. Do whatever He says to do. You just do it while we sing.